Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
There, that sounded better. I thought I went back in my old Lutheran ways. Everybody's smiling. That was okay. I can say it because I was a Lutheran, right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad you're here today. It's cold out there, but you still come. Praise the Lord. And we're going to believe the Lord's got a word for us today. Amen. And Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. We glorify you for what you're doing in this world, Lord, in this state, in our homes. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. You are on the move. And Lord, we look to you right now. We ask that your anointing be here. Lord, help me to be anointed to give your word and let it be a challenge and an encouragement to the people. And also, Lord, let your anointing be up on the people to receive and hear, Lord, that they can be challenged in every area of their lives also, Father, as we all work together to strive to glorify you in our lives in every way. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So anyway, this morning on Fox News, you know, Vice President Trump's wife was attacked for teaching art in a Christian school. Can you believe it? In America. But yet they're under fire for her doing that. But I tell you what, people, we are literally seeing and watching, and that's why we need to keep our hearts on guard for what's happening in our world today, because things are happening. Christian values are being threatened and attacked in this nation, what we never ever thought we would see, but we're seeing it today. And Vice President Pence was on the news this morning, and he's concerned about how his wife was attacked for just wanting to teach young people art in a Christian school. And so we need to be in prayer for our nation. We need to be vigilant in what we do in our lives as far as serving the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
We need to be aware of that. And I believe our world can change overnight. It could. We could wake up tomorrow and we could be in a whole different world, and we need to be ready for that if it should Jesus tarry and that happens. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was thinking when Bob said gifts, that we all have different gifting, you know, and I was thinking about people in even this church as well as other people I know and everything, all the different personalities that people have, their character, who they are. Those are all giftings from God. And those are the very giftings that encourage one another. Amen. When we come together, everybody's got, you know, some people just relate to different people, don't we? There's certain people that we just, you know, you just draw to them or them to you or whatever for whatever reason. But those are giftings, and God has somebody in the church. And that's why when you're not here, we're missing that gift. Amen. We're missing that gift. And so we want to always, like Bob said, we are one in the faith. We're one, the body of Christ. We want to thank God for each person here. Nobody is lesser or more. We're equal in God's eyes. And as far as we're concerned, brothers and sisters in Christ, we're to love each other's. Amen. And we need to do that because I tell you what, as the days get darker and Jesus says even more so, come together. And it amazes me how many people aren't coming together when we should be. Amen. So, segue into building your life is my message today. Matthew chapter 7, verses 26, 27. How many brought your Bibles today? Do you memorize them? Hey, it's, you know, the population's down here this morning, but you still got some good Bibles here. That's good. That's good. Hallelujah. I tell you what, you got to have that sword. The enemy might attack you while you're sitting here. This is it. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 7, verses 26 and 27. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell and great was the fall of it. Whew. So your trust and your faith here needs to be in the rock. Who? Jesus Christ, right? And the foundation is the cross. It's the cross. Our salvation was all accomplished and finished at the cross. It's all done. I always want to say this. We do not do anything in our lives, in this church, to earn our way to heaven. Nothing. Jesus accomplished it at the cross. He did it all. There's nothing more we can do to go to heaven than what Jesus did. And anybody that tells you you have to do this and you have to do that and you got to do this and go this way in this direction, you have to believe this and that to get to heaven, you got to question it. Because Jesus said it's finished. Everything that needs to be done was done to make it so that you and I can go to heaven. And we receive that by grace through faith. And once we do that, we become born again. There's nothing more we can do other than what Jesus is telling us to do in his word. Amen? There's nothing you can do in works that will save you. Nothing. Jesus did that. And some people don't even like it when you preach on the word of God, where God tells us that we need to be doing certain things. He's not telling us in order to make it to heaven that that's the only way we'll get there. He's doing it in order for us to grow in our faith and to be more like Jesus. And anybody that says that's legalism is a liar. Legalism is if I say to you, you have to be in church every single Sunday if you want to go to heaven. Get rid of me. Go ahead. Get rid of me. Because I would never say that. So now you got to keep me. Once upon a time, there was three little pigs whose mother said to them, it's time for you to go into the big world to build your homes and to seek your fortunes. Yes, I am going to be speaking on the three little pigs. So this morning I want to share that familiar story with a powerful message behind it that we need to take seriously. You may remember that the mother of the three little pigs sent her children out into the big world with a specific purpose in mind. A mission. A mission. John chapter 17, verses 15 and 18. It says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. That's speaking of Satan himself, the evil one. Did you hear that? That thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, so even I also sent them into the world. Amen? So the same, and that same holds true to the saints of God. That's what Jesus is asking us to do too. To go into all the world, but not be of the world. We are not of this world. We are now because of what Jesus did on Calvary's cross, what he accomplished on the cross. We are citizens of his world. Doesn't that excite you? What he did on the cross made it possible that I get to be in heaven with Jesus one day. Whether he comes or I die, I get to be in his world for all eternity. And that's what he did on the cross to accomplish so that you and I had that avenue. That this isn't all there is that some teach, but that Jesus did something that we can live with him. That's the world I'm looking forward to. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, he does not take us out of the world. We now serve in this world. What's the Bible say in 2 Corinthians 5:20? We are ambassadors. That's what we are. We're ambassadors. When I leave the walls of this church and I go into my other world during the week, I'm an ambassador of Christ. I represent the Lord Jesus Christ in every way I live, whether it's in the privacy of my own home or if I'm out in the job or whatever. I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And people are looking, they're watching me if they know me, and they're listening to every word I say, especially once they know I'm a Christian. Because I tell you, I keep saying it, I'm going to remind you, people notice you. If you profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your neighbors will know, people at work will know, relatives know, and everybody's listening and watching. And as soon as you say a bad word, guess what they're thinking? And they're a Christian? We're under a microscope. Every little thing I do, somebody's going to criticize me if it isn't exactly what they think it should be. And I'm aware of that. But I don't walk around trying to be a goody two-shoe, because I'm going to drop the ball. I'm going to get mad. I'm going to say things maybe in not the way they should be said. I'm not talking about cussing and swearing, but sometimes you say things you wish you hadn't said. And that even happens when I'm behind here. But I tell you what, people are listening and they're watching you every moment of your life. That's why we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And I ask the Lord to always help me to represent him in the best way I can. Amen? Yes, amen. Hallelujah. We need to do that in the world we live, especially today. And the Lord, he sanctifies us. That means he sets us apart to make us holy. That's what it said right here in the scripture. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's where we get sanctified every moment. That's what's happening in my life and your life every day right now as we take the word of God and apply it to our life. He is sanctifying me. He's making me more holy as I walk with him. He's making me more to become like him. He's sanctifying me when I obey this. When I read it, take it, and let the Holy Spirit work in my heart, I become more like Jesus. Glory to God. So that purpose to build our life, when you give your life to Jesus and you're born again, when you're born again, you are like a builder building your house on solid foundation, amen? Once you become born again, Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 25, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. That's just opposite than the first one I read, isn't it? That's who we need to be building our faith upon the cross, upon Jesus Christ. Some of you may have or been involved in building construction. Anybody in here been in construction? I have. There, look at, yeah, we get, wow. We could build something, guys. Did I see a gal's hand too? We'll take you. But you know how important it is to build sound structures, don't you? Solid foundation and structures, that's vitally important. It's vitally important to do that. So the proposition here is the decision before all of us as builders of our life is whether we will build quickly without quality and wind up with a house that can easily be blown away. And believe me, there's houses out there that have been built quickly and will blow away quickly. Or are you going to build steadfastly, line upon line, precept on precept, building a house that cannot be blown away, made of materials which will endure? See, Isaiah 28:10 says, for precept must be upon precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. That's what the Lord said to do. And that's what we need to be thinking about, because in Isaiah, in Ephraim, the prideful and the drunkards were destroying the northern kingdom at that time when you get in and read that part of scripture. That's what they were doing. God was angry about this. So the prophet said they must be taught like little children, one point at a time with much repetition. I repeat myself, don't I, once in a while. I do. I do that on purpose. I bring up certain scriptures more frequently because I think they're important. The Holy Spirit puts them in my heart, and I believe he puts them there because he wants me to speak them out, because I think they help you and I to build a more solid foundation in our faith, in our walk with the Lord. And I need to do that. And God right here is giving them repetition. They were a rebellious people, prideful. And God had to teach them. And even after the Lord, through Isaiah, confirmed the necessity of such an approach, when you get down to verse 13 in Isaiah, the people still refused to learn. They refused. They refused to learn. Sadly, this is a situation that is very similar to that in Christian America today. We have Christians who refuse to learn. They're going to do what they want to do. This morning on Fox News, they had a gentleman on there that, when they were talking about the Christian school thing, he did a nice job and everything, talking about the schools and how important they are and things. What bothered me about his statements is that he kind of compromised his statements in order to achieve, to receive, make sure everybody was coming into the thinking of his about how we don't reject anybody, whether they're this or they're that, or they're involved in this or that, or whatever types of people he was talking about. That was far from the truth according to God's word. We do not accept anything and everything into the church, into our lives, because God tells us what sin is sin and what we need to be aware of. And that was really bad for him to do that. And I'm not going to get deeper into it. I will at another time, but it was really bad. I thought it was really compromising his profession as a Christian. Man, stand for what you believe, people. Don't ever back away from it. If it lines up with the Word of God and you're giving it in love, stand for it. Don't back away from it. Be firm in your steadfast walk with Jesus and tell people if they need to know the truth, let them know it, but do it in love. See, the church is busy today accepting and justifying the very things that will destroy our lives. And the Lord warned us against that. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. And today, many Christians are saying, even Christians are saying, you can't judge. You're judging. And I said, well, if I'm judging, you just judge me for being a judge. So you already blew it, man. You can tell them by their fruits. The Lord told us. And we need to be aware of that. So, how are you building your house? How are you building your life? Personally, how are you building your life? You got to let the Holy Spirit speak into your heart right now and say, how am I truly building my life outside the walls of this church? In my daily activities, how am I doing it? Even in my home, how am I doing it? Have you stopped to consider whether you're building your life so that it can endure the storms that life brings our way? And they will. But let's get back to the three little pigs. They had a mission, so they packed up their bags and said goodbye to mother. Then each little pig took a different path into the world. The first little pig did not like hard work. He hated that. He didn't want to do it. So he quickly built his house out of straw. He built it on the soft sand. And he finished it the same day he built it. That little oinky was busy that day. That night he was lying in his hammock, satisfied with himself for finishing so quickly, looking forward to a lazy life of leisure. That's the way I want to live my life. I already built my house. The first little pig is like a Christian who is not concerned about putting effort into the building his spiritual life. When is the Super Bowl? I'll leave it there. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And you know, by the way, that the business here is a term that refers to not just making a living, but it refers also to all aspects of life. And you say, Pastor, that's not true. It just says business. No, listen to Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And then you can also read Ephesians 6:7 and Ecclesiastes 9-10, which confirms that we're to do it to the Lord. So the first little pig does not like to work, right? He doesn't like to work. And we got a lot of people in America today that don't want to work. They just want to protest and go down the road and have somebody else hand them everything they got. But this little pig, he didn't want to work either. But it takes work to build your spiritual life with the Lord. Did you know that? I've been living for the Lord 40 years and I'm still working. Sometimes I don't want to work. Sometimes I get tired of working. Sometimes I get frustrated, discouraged but I know that I got to keep working on my spiritual life if I'm going to maintain my walk with the Lord. Not to get to heaven, but to maintain of who Christ wants me to be in this world. I need to keep working in my life spiritually in order to glorify the Lord that I serve. So it takes zeal and fervor, and it takes effort, doesn't it, to work. That's what it takes. And we should do with zeal, excitement. We should always desire to want to serve our Lord. In other words, it takes the right kind of attitude to want to work for the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to have the right attitude. The first little pig's attitude is, well, whatever it takes to get by. Whatever it takes, just to get by. A fellow complained to his pastor one time saying, whenever I come to church, we always sing the same hymns, O Little Town of Bethlehem and Silent Night. This might seem like a legitimate complaint, but that man attended church only at Christmas. He figured that was just enough to get by. And we have those people even at Crossfire that have attended church just on Christmas. I've seen them out here and have been introduced to them. They don't go to church. One guy, our last Christmas here, approached me, a gentleman, and he said he doesn't go to church, but his wife got him to come to our Christmas program. And he was so impressed. He said, I'm so impressed with what I heard and listened to and saw today that I am considering maybe coming back to church. But see, you can't do it just when you feel like it. See, the Lord already knows how many times, and sometimes the enemy will beat you up and make you feel even like a hypocrite, how many times I've been in church and I didn't want to even be there. But I knew I had to, for my own sake, for my family's sake, and for the people I work around, and for the people who God wants to bring into my life. I know that I got to do what I got to do. And how many know that when you get there, it's a lot better than when just getting ready to go? Doesn't it? It just feels a lot better. Once you're here and then you leave, you say, man, am I glad I'd gone to church today. Praise the Lord. That Pastor Lynn, he's... No. Anyway, he just slapped me on the head. Yes. See, what it really was just enough to relieve him of his guilt for another year, is what was happening. Many people feel that way about attending church. They attend just enough times to keep them from feeling guilty. Instead of attending regularly, help build their spiritual life. They'll do it when they feel like it. If you're not putting 100% into your relationship with the Lord, did you hear that? 100%. 100%. In your relationship with the Lord. If you're not working at building your life in faith, then you will reap what you sow. And see, a lot of people don't understand that. We reap what we sow in every facet of our lives, every area. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, that last part says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It didn't say work into heaven. It says work out your salvation. What are you going to do with that salvation? Philippians is say, work it out your own. Work it, not somebody else's. but work out your own. I need to work out my salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that I have a heart that's prone to wander away from God. And the enemy is working on you and I continually to do that in every area of our life, to be watered down in order that we are worthless to the kingdom of God and even ourselves. So if you're just doing enough to get by, this is all you will do to get by, like the first little piggy. Most of us here today are accustomed to hard work, though, praise the Lord. I can look out and say, praise the Lord. We have learned that it takes zeal and determination and work to build our spiritual life with the Lord. But let's go back to that first little pig again. I want to pick on him some more. The next morning he strolled down the road playing the flute, Rudy Toot Toot, to see how his brothers were doing. This brings us to the second bad quality found in the first little pig. He likes to blow his own horn. The first little pig is the kind of Christian who spends a little time working to build his own faith and tends to spend a lot of time talking himself up and running others down. Ouch! Ouch! He is living in a spiritual poverty because he's all talk. All talk. And there's a story of a man who thought he was an expert on the economy because he had read in the papers all about the current economic situation. While in a meeting with a number of other men, he declared that he knew how to fix the problem. How many of us know how to fix the economy here? What he did not know was that another man in the room had just returned from a business trip where he had chaired a World Economic Summit discussing the same problem. The second man quietly displayed that the first man was nothing but hot air and no expert at all. He didn't know what he's talking about. So the first little pig was all talk, but he was no substance. He was no substance. It says in 2 Thessalonians 3:11, as it describes that first little pig, when it says, "For we hear that you are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies." We need to be involved, don't we? We need to be involved. If we're not, we're busybodies. We become busybodies. And you know something? If there's somebody in the church, you've got an issue or whatever, and you're not involved, don't criticize somebody else in a ministry. Get involved in that ministry. If you say, well, you go around and saying, well, you know, Pastor Lynn, he's really a cornball, and I really don't care for the guy. Well, I tell you what, you come up and preach. You come up and do it every week, and you preach. I'll let you do it for a month. Or maybe there's somebody in somebody's ministry within the people in the congregation here, and there's somebody in there that's saying things they shouldn't be saying, and they're bringing discord amongst the body. That person isn't involved in ministry. And it's easy to go around and blow their horn and talk and say things. But like that first little piggy, he wasn't involved. He was all talk. And if somebody approaches me and complains about something and I know they're not involved in anything, I say, you better get involved. Because I'm going to give it to them the truth. I have to. That's how the devil comes in and tries to rip apart what God is trying to do in your and my life. Amen? We don't need that first little piggy. Only if he wants to repent. A repentant piggy. The little piggy needs to get down to business. The second little piggy took one look at the straw shack of the first little pig and decided to build his house out of sticks. My stick house will look tons better than his straw shack. This little pig is more concerned about appearances than responsibility and obedience. So he builds his house with sticks in the middle of a lovely little valley, which you could call a wash, which is basically a dry creek or a stream bed or a gulch. It doesn't take him much longer than it took the first little pig, but it looks so much better. He's satisfied with himself. Boy, my stick shack really looks great compared to that old straw shack. Wow, am I talented? Am I a good builder? That night he lies on his cot feeling happy with himself for building something so good looking. He's a little worried about the storms, but comforts himself with the thought that his house looks so much better than his brother's. The next morning, the second little pig invited all of his friends and his brothers to his new house for a party. At the party, he takes out his fiddle and sings, "I built my house of sticks. I built my house so fine. With a hey diddle diddle," he played on his fiddle and danced for a very long time. See, the second pig knows that he should have built a stronger house, but he doesn't want to spend the extra time and money and effort to do it right. But since his stick house looks good enough, he just wants to fiddle around. That's all he wants to do. The second little pig is like kind of a Christian who knows and understands his spiritual responsibility, but he won't discipline himself to do anything about it. So God plays second fiddle in the second little piggy's life, or person, I could say. The lack of spiritual responsibility will have a negative effect on the second little piggy's life. First, he can easily be deceived by false doctrine because he doesn't like the responsibility of studying God's word. And I see that so much today, and it's scary in the churches today. The people want the pastor to preach the word or preach, and they don't bring their Bibles to church. They don't open them up, in even at home, because they went to church. And they depend upon them, and they're going to be, and they are being easily deceived. I listened to a gentleman that used to be in the New Age yesterday on the radio, and he said that today, across this land, many churches today are accepting and have within them New Age teachings, even from the pulpits. And the people don't even know it because they don't take responsibility. Yoga is one of the biggest things. Every Christian has a responsibility to read and study the Bible. Amen? Acts 17:11, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." Did you hear that? Daily. We need to be in the word. This is food. We eat breakfast every day. Huh? I love breakfast. I love my Honey Nut Cheerios. But I need to be reading the word. I need to get the spiritual food in my soul and be ready for what the enemy will try to attack me on, or what God has got me to do that day. Because you never know, and I've experienced this several times, even in the last couple months, people that come out of the blue and approach me and ask me spiritual things about the direction of their lives, out of the blue. Now, if my life isn't where it belongs, guess what? Who cares? I had an example of one time, a salesman, when I lived in North Dakota, he was calling on me when I was a purchasing agent, and we used to share the Lord. Every time the guy come in, he was on fire for the Lord. He's excited. We had great fellowship times when he come in. And I hadn't seen the guy for like maybe 5 years, and one time I had to go to Chicago on a convention, and at the convention center, I was walking, and I saw this guy coming down there, and I could see it was him, and I was excited. I was going to run up and greet him and say, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord," which I did, just like that. And the guy stood there and looked at me like I just called him a name. And I said, "What's going on?" And he said, "Let me tell you." And he told me a story about how a businessman had called him into his office, and the businessman sat there. I've told you this before, I think. And he said, "I heard you were a Christian." And he said, as soon as that businessman said that to me, he said, I froze. I didn't know how to answer him. I didn't want to answer him. And he said, I didn't say a word. We finished our business and I left. And the next morning, he got a message that that businessman had killed himself. You got to prepare. You got to keep the fire burning in your heart. People are out there dying. So they searched the scripture daily, whether those things were so. And this is a noble example for all new converts, by the way, too. That's why we encourage people to get into the Word of God immediately when they come to Christ. Even those who nominally believe the Bible, such as the people even in Scripture, we read about that. We need to get the Word out. And if you're in here this morning and you're not a person that regularly reads your Bible, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to help you to do it for your own sake and for your loved one's sake. Prepare, should God say, go to them. Be ready in season and out of season at all moments. Ready to give an answer should somebody ask you. You need to be ready for that. Another negative effect since seen in the second little pig's life is that he neglects his God-given duties. James 4:17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. Sins of omission, failing to do what God wants us to do, are sins just as surely as sins of commission. Same thing, doing what God has told us not to do. Remember the second little piggy thought he should have made his house more sound, but he said to himself, oh, nothing bad will happen. Nothing bad's going to happen. It will be another 10 years before we have another bad rainstorm. I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stands take heed lest he fall. Some people think I'm a Christian. I've approached people like, I'm a Christian. That's all that counts. I'm a Christian. I've met Christians who were professing Christians at one time and will no longer even darken a door, who don't even want to talk about the things of God, who use God's name in vain that never used to. Because they thought they're all right because I'm a Christian. What the second little piggy doesn't realize is that he has a responsibility as a Christian to build his life and build it well. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to save you and you can sit on a chair till I come. I didn't read that in there. Jesus died for the second little piggy or person, didn't he? He died for us all so that we would have everything he needs to build a strong, lasting faith. You and I need to give of ourselves in order for the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, to use us to build that foundation and to find it on a rock. The rock of our salvation, our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving, with a thankful heart. Praise the Lord. So the second little piggy person needs to stop fiddling around and get plugged into God's revealed will for his life. He needs to go back to the beginning and continue to do the good work that he had begun. So now let's see what the third little pig has been up to. We're almost done here now. We're up to piggy number three. The third little pig was a sober little pig. He had decided to build his house out of cement blocks on a solid foundation. It took him a long time and the work was difficult and tedious. But the third little piggy was looking forward to the peace and comfort of a strong, sound home. How many feel in your home when you're spiritually been doing what God has asked you to do and you look at your family and they're growing in the things of God and you can say within yourself to the Lord, Lord, I feel good in this house because you're here. My children are living for you. Because I've been, with all your help, Lord, I've been working to be like you and to live my life according to what your word says. What to do and what not to do in order to make that house a spiritual home. So slap, slap, slap away he worked, laying bricks and mortar. Christians who are like the third little pig are sober and they're diligent. They are alert and in control. They don't mind the hard work they are putting into their relationship with Jesus because they realize that their hard work will lead to a future of peace and comfort, and it will. You may not see it right now, but it will. When the end comes, when you're laying on your deathbed especially, you're going to look back and say, Lord, I did my best with your help to serve and to live for you. Not making excuses for sins that we've committed or whatever. They should be under the blood and repented of anyway. But for the work that you've used my life for, I feel at comfort and peace knowing I'm coming to meet with you. 1 Peter 1:13 says, wherefore, gird up. And that word gird up, it's this expression means to be serious and thoughtful rather than shallow and flippant in attitude. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. The third little pig proposed in his heart to build his house as strong as possible. That should be our goal and our desire as Christians. In order to do that, he selected two very important building materials. First was concrete blocks. As Christians, we need to build our lives with God's building blocks. Amen? That's what we need to do. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We've got work to do. We've got things to build in our spiritual life. And this scripture is saying that we can strengthen our life by using the word of God. This is how we do it, people, right through here. Vitally important. And then he used mortar. The third little piggy used mortar to hold his house together. And see, the Holy Spirit is like mortar in our spiritual life. The Holy Spirit helps hold us together. His ministry is to teach us and to bind God's words to our hearts. That's the Holy Spirit. He brings remembrance to the things of God as we study the Word of God and we live it out. We have the Holy Spirit helping us in our spiritual walk. His ministry is to teach us and to bind it to our hearts. John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. I depend upon the Holy Spirit. How about you? I need the Holy Spirit. So remember the first and the second little piggies? After the party, which the third little pig didn't have time to go to, the brothers went over the third little pig's place to see how he was coming along. When they got there and saw their brother toiling and sweating, they said, come along with us and relax for a while. We're going to the river to take it easy. Or to the Super Bowl. No, it says river. But the third little piggy graciously declined and continued steadfastly to build his house, not accepting any invitations that would take him away from his task. We Christians need to build our spiritual lives with the same tenacity as the third little piggy. But there's things in our life that pulls us a whole different direction. At the snap of a finger, we'll go another way if it means something else that we'd rather do. And our children see that too, and our great-grandchildren. And you're saying, Pastor, you're trying to put guilt on me. No, I'm not. I'm just preaching the Word of God. You take it wherever you want to take it. That's up to you and the Holy Spirit. But I got to give you the truth. We're in times, people. I preach the way I preach because of the hour we live in. And I got to. Don't stop, keep working. No half-baked jobs. The third little piggy saying, I'll build my house of stone. I'll build my house of brick. I have no chance to sing and dance for play and work. Don't mix. There is a time for everything. Now is the time to build. So be built. He built his life line upon line and precept upon precept, a little at a time, a little at a time, a little here and a little there. And that's what he did, and he built a strong house. So in conclusion, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 and 15. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ, first he's our creator, amen? Then he's our redeemer, praise the Lord, is the foundation of any true and lasting Christian life. Jesus Christ, he is it. He's who we build upon. Verse 12 goes on to say, now if any man build upon his foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If a man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So how are you doing in building and reinforcing your spiritual life? Is it ready? Is it ready? When the storms of life or the big bad wolf comes, will your house still stand, or will you be saved only by the hair of your chinny chin chin? Because people today around the world, storms are coming into Christians' lives around the world. And I said it last Sunday too, we're in a church where we have the ability to come in and freely worship and to have a chance to grow our lives in the Lord. But we have brothers and sisters around the world who are even newer that are being approached by tortures and martyrs being killed for their faith, standing. Are we ready for that? Should that happen? And it could. It could. But I want to ask you, is your spiritual life where it needs to be? Are you satisfied? Are you content? Say, I'm a good Christian. I'm a good Christian. I'm a good person. Well, that's contrary to the Word of God anyway. You're not a good person. Jesus said, God is good. Only God's good. Any goodness that I have, it's through God. It's through the cross. Any righteousness that I can claim, it's through Him. My self-righteousness is worthless. But when I say I have righteousness, it's through the cross, through the righteousness of Jesus, because He is now my foundation. He is the rock in which I build my Christian walk. Amen? Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amy, you want to play? What are you playing there? That sounds good. You got words to it?
We do. Could you put the words up, please?
I'm a real musician.
When the darkness fills my senses, when my blindness keeps me from your touch, Jesus, come. Oh, when my burden.
I want you to come up if you want to agree with me in prayer. I want you to come up and say, Lord, I want my spiritual life stronger. If you want that, come on up with me, and I need to be up here. Let's just worship God before the altar, before Him, and then I'm going to finish off with prayer.
Jesus, come.
The importance of our spiritual life, we've got to take it right now.
When my darkness,
hallelujah,
fills my senses, when my blindness keeps me from your touch. Oh, Jesus, come. Jesus, come. Oh, when my burden, when my burden keeps me doubting, when my memories take the place of you. Oh, Jesus, come. Jesus, come. And I'll follow you there.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, we thank you for your precious word. Lord, we thank you, especially for what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. Lord, as he came, our Creator came, flesh, became flesh incarnate up on the cross, and he died a horrible death to pay for my sins. And as all he asks is that I come and repent and ask for forgiveness and confess that I am a sinner. And he said, whosoever will, he says, come. He'll accept you no matter where you're at in your life. He'll receive you. You don't even need to clean up. He'll clean you up. Lord, your word. Father, as we gather here this morning, Father, I pray for each one of us, Lord, each one of us, Father, that we take in the hour that we live even more serious our spiritual life, that we not joke it away, that we not just say, I got enough. That's all I need. I'll be satisfied if I just make it into heaven by the hairs of my chinny chin chin. But Lord, we don't need to be that way. Lord, we need to stand before you where you can say, well done, good and faithful servant, like Brother Paul. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will move supernaturally in a greater way in the days and the hours and the weeks and the months should Jesus tarry in our lives and convict our hearts to desire to want to live for you. Not have to, but want to. That you'll put that joy within our spirits, that desire to want to live for you in every facet of our lives and to be examples to the world around us, even within our own homes. I pray, Lord, that your holy word will be applied to each one of our lives as we read it, and that the Holy Spirit will adhere it to our hearts and challenge us to wake up every morning with joy and thankfulness in our hearts and desire us to go out and to work a work for your glory, Lord, to build up our faith. And Lord, even as you use the storms of life, even as you allow things into our life to strengthen our faith, Lord, we desire to represent and to build our spiritual life by trusting in you, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank you. We thank you as the body of Christ, Father. And now, Lord, I pray that you touch every home that's represented at Crossfire. Lord, touch them, Father. Move upon them. Bless them. Use them. Lord, do a supernatural work in their hearts this week, Father. Lord, let this be a church of prayer. Let it be a church that studies the Word of God. Let it be a church that does fellowship. And let it be a church not afraid to serve you in any aspect that you should call us. And we thank you and we praise you and we glorify you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Tell someone, I'm excited about Jesus. Huh? You excited about Jesus? Praise the Lord. Sister, you're...